Andrea Lester from Department of Premier and Cabinet in Victoria. I'm just interested any comments from anyone on the panel, really, about the size of the legislation. I've got a collection from 1988 and it starts off at about a centimetre, and when you can't carry the Act and the regulations in your hand luggage, it's getting problematic. I'd be really interested in your views from as practitioners, whether in the drafting of any replacement act, of the importance of simplicity and clarity.
I'll say something. I think that's a good point. Look, one of the claims about the work choices legislation is that it does make our industrial arrangements, I guess, federally more simple. It's impossible, obviously, to contest the proposition that more people are now brought within the federal umbrella. But the point that you've made highlights the fact, I think, that actually the laws are far more complex now than they have been in the past. And whilst the reliance on the corporation's power in the Constitution, as David was alluding to in his speech, has removed a whole lot of kind of silly practices which resulted from the legislation previously being based on the Labor power, a whole lot of complexity has been introduced into it, which I think negates whatever sort of benefit you might have got out of that change. And I do think that in terms of reforming the legislation in the future, it is really important that we get back to a simple set of rules which are easily understood and where we are not being asked to digest a mountain of material so constantly. And I'll say one final thing about this. I think actually it does, I think it does go back to an issue of democracy a little bit, and it was a point that I made when I spoke previously to this gathering. These laws were not properly debated prior to the last election. There's no way anyone could possibly argue that there was a mandate for bringing them in, because there just wasn't. It's almost unprecedented in that sense. And so what we then had was a real attempt to put this through on the run. It wasn't carefully considered. There wasn't a lot of debate about it before the thing was put into the Parliament. And as a result, we've ended up with a dog's breakfast, in mechanical terms. And I think that's I reckon it all stems back to the fact that this thing didn't go to the last election and the government have tried to rush it through really quickly and really crudely.
Sorry, David. I'd have to say that the Victorian government's position was quite genuinely that they wanted to talk to the federal government. My minister's on the record as saying that a number of times in the lead-up to the development of the legislation. It was, as I said earlier, the only state that has a genuine commitment to a unitary system. And I agree, it is an incredibly complex piece of legislation. There wasn't any consultation between the federal government and the Victorian government, not surprisingly. Perhaps in a political sense, but in a practical sense, as we all know in this room who deal in IR, IR 101 is about consultation and negotiation. None of that occurred, and then you tend to get these kind of outcomes, I think, and it's unfortunate because it's an opportunity lost.
Just a very brief comment. I mean, my personal opinion would have been, I think they would have been far better off to have developed a separate piece of legislation rather than having used the amending work choices legislation to amend the existing Workplace Relations Act. Having said that, the 76 pages of the new amending legislation I was looking through yesterday, they seem a lot simpler than what we've had previously. One genuine concern I do have about the Forward with Fairness approach that the ALP is now proposing, though, is just this issue. It is an incredibly complicated set of policy proposals which seeks to do a whole range of things. I would have thought that the ALP, I'm not going to take any notice of my advice, would have been far better off to be focused on looking at the framework of minimum standards, maybe some reforms to the unfair dismissal laws. I reckon a set of fairly simple proposals would have been a much better way to go, would not be attracting anywhere near the sort of criticism that the ALP is getting now with its very complicated Forward with Fairness approach. It opens up all sorts of complicated possibilities in the future in terms of the implementation of that policy into a piece of legislation.
Chris, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, Andrea, my guess is that if Labor gets in, you'll need some extra luggage. And if you don't need extra luggage, it'll be because they will leave. There's different ways of drafting, but One way is to leave the notions very fuzzy so that you leave it to courts and commissions to or tribunals to fill the holes. If that happens, it just leaves open a whole lot of debate and the opportunity for, you know, both parties to play games in courts and commissions, which is not ideal.
We haven't really learned a lot over the last 2,000 years because the Judeo-Christian principles based on the Ten Commandments, and they fit easily on a postcard. The European Union regulations for the trading in eggs and egg products is 17,000 pages. Any other questions or comments?
Renato Morasco from the Coles Group. I've got a question primarily for Richard. Dean Mile from the ETU was reported in this morning's press making various comments about patent bargaining. I was just wondering whether you support the comments and particularly whether you'd support industry bargaining if Labor win the election later this year.
Thank you for that delightful question. I did not listen. I hadn't heard the comments, but somebody did tell me that Dean had been vocal, and so I've had the chance to read what he said. And look, I think in terms of Dean's comments, Dean is a very colourful character, which is why, of course, we love him. And I think his comments should be taken in that context, but. But what's clear is that Labor's policy is about Labor's policy is about enterprise bargaining being focused on the enterprise, and that is clear. I mean, that's a clear statement in the Forward with Fairness platform, and really the answer flows from that. I mean, enterprise bargaining, collective bargaining at an enterprise level, is the cornerstone of Labor's future IR policy.
Any other member of the panel want to?
No, I suppose the only other comment I'd make is that, again, the Forward with Fairness policy approach that Labor's got out at the moment does envisage aspects of patent bargaining approaches coming into play again. It talks specifically about the cleaning industry, the security industry as being some industry areas where single industry outcomes might be appropriate. It talks about the possibility of multi-employer collective bargaining occurring in other areas as well. That's not a starting point that we're particularly supportive of. Much prefer to see that the emphasis on outcomes developed in individual workplaces rather than outcomes developed across a group of employers or indeed across an entire industry sector.
Robin Alexander, I co-author a textbook on industrial relations and I'm writing the seventh edition right now. So I have a question. You've talked about the rise in the number of AWAs over the last year, but there also has been an increase in the number of non-union collective agreements. Is there any explanation for why that has occurred?
Any volunteers?
Just, I guess, a fact. The facts are that whilst I think there have been 300,000 AWAs during the Work Choices period of time, the most number of employees during Work Choices have been covered by union collective agreements. They still, whilst I think they come third behind AWAs and employee collective agreements, they still cover the biggest number of employees in total of agreements developed during the Work Choices period. So some of this focus on AWAs, again, I think the ALP is misguided in singling out ALPs, but AWAs. But some of the focus on AWAs is, I think, misguided, probably for the reasons that you're indicating.
It might also be underpinned by the fairly unique characteristic in Work Choices of Greenfields Agreement, and that is the ability for an employer to reach an agreement in effect with itself. It's an area that David loves that part of the legislation. That would be that to my knowledge is a fairly unique characteristic in terms of industrial relations systems. And David's saying there should be more of it. Clearly, some employers are noticing it and making use of it.
But there has been, outside of the greenfields, there has been a growth in non-union collective agreements. As to the reasons for that, you can speculate, but one thing I would say is that I wouldn't see that as a function of any legislative tweak under work choices as compared to the previous legislation. I wouldn't see it as it's somehow easier to exclude union and therefore make a non-union agreement. It's not a function of the legislation itself. There's something else going on.